This podcast is brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Keep Joy on air by becoming a member, a subscriber, or donate. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.
You're listening to a Joycast from GLBTIQ community radio station, Joy 94.9. Bent Notes is our weekly jazz program going to air each Sunday night.
A musical group who like to improvise. That's what I've read. And they like to improvise and compose, work together. What they tell me is that jazz was their starting point. Let me introduce to you Marcos Villalta, who plays guitar. Cheryl, I'm not going to attack that name, no, Cheryl. How do we pronounce it?
Cheryl Jurong Pisitcool.
Thank you. And Stephen Hornby, welcome to Joy.
Thanks.
Thanks for having us.
Now, the name of your band, I've got to get through this first. Is it Koi Kingdom the correct pronunciation?
Yeah.
Now, when I went looking for Koi Kingdom, I got pictures of goldfish, well, coloured goldfish, and I had to do a bit of research to find out that koi actually refers to these coloured fish. What caused you to choose Koi as the name of the group? There's got to be a good
reason
behind it.
Choosing band name sucks. we bashed our heads together for about 3 days.
It was about 3 days, yeah.
And we realised that the important thing is to just pick something and commit to it. We liked the... It struck some sort of resonance with us, I suppose, the imagery that it creates.
The alliteration.
Yeah. But it doesn't have any deep meaning. But we did sort of then use it to sort of shape the album artwork. It did sort of take some meaning from that. We've created our own little Koi Kingdom with the artwork.
Yeah, we've almost shaped the music in our own band world around this title. So it was almost a starting point.
The choice of Koi had no real significance other than you liked it. Mm-hmm. And you've developed from there.
Yeah.
What a way to develop a band from a name.
Yeah.
Now, how long have you been together performing or playing together as a band, as Koi Kingdom?
I'd say nearly 3 years. Mm. Yeah.
And your blurb describes yourselves as improvising, using jazz as your starting point. So I'm intrigued with that. I can understand the improvisatory side of things. What does it mean that jazz is your starting point? If that's your starting point, where does it take you?
I think it's the starting point for us because we all studied jazz at university and we kind of use it like that jazz language for approaching the way that we improvise. That's the way I kind of, sort of like see it. But then we've used that sort of language and kind of playfulness that you get with jazz, but then have brought our own uniqueness with like our compositions and like kind of explore a lot of things in like, maybe more so through the composition, but then tie it in with the jazz kind of improvising.
Yeah, that's pretty much on the money, I reckon. Yeah. We all went to jazz school and that's where we met. And that's something that we all share so we can all relate to that, that shared experience, I guess. Yeah.
And that's a very important shared experience to have. I think when you're developing your skill set, learning about what that skill set's all about, what was the thing about being at uni together that really strikes you? Was it the music or was it the camaraderie?
Well, so I actually wasn't at uni with these two. They were together. I guess jazz's starting point, we all kind of ended up learning how to speak the same language in some ways. You can start from there. You can all play together and have this understanding, a deeper understanding of where we're all coming from initially, which helps build the camaraderie afterwards. Yeah.
Do you have complementary skills and ways of looking at jazz that contribute to your compositions?
I think, definitely. Yeah, I think we all definitely do. It's important that we have things in common because otherwise we wouldn't be able to communicate at all. But then it's also super important that we're different because then we all bring different things to the group. So we all are different. And I think that makes it more interesting. If we were all the same person, it would be less interesting. But we're not.
It would be because you'd all come up with exactly the same ideas.
Yeah.
Do you work on the basis that Marcos composes something and then everyone plays that and then Stephen composes, then you compose, Cheryl? Or do you combine your compositional skills?
It is mostly one of the members will bring a composition to the band and we'll kind of all work on it from there. Mostly with most of our compositions, I think we'll kind of write each other's parts, but then they do get sort of fine-tuned or, you know, changed maybe a little bit from the band. But yeah, that's kind of the way, the approach that we've taken most of the time. I would like to explore, though, like a bit more collaborative, like super collaborative writing. Like maybe just we all just kind of equally are contributing like ideas into like one piece, which I think would be interesting. It's really difficult to do. I think we're all kind of used to just having compositions that we all control and then like make it a little bit easier to kind of manage, I think. I don't know.
As an improvisatory band, I assume that the compositions are not all written out and that you'll define your piece and then allow everyone to improvise over the top.
Yeah.
I think all of our pieces have improvisation as part of the piece. Yeah, definitely. Yeah.
What is it about improvisation that really attracts your attention? Is there something about it that just... It is so much more enthralling than reading the notes.
Yeah. I mean, one of my favourite parts of being in this band is how interactive it is. That, you know, a major part of the music, and it gets playful and it gets weird and every time it's different and you just don't know where it's going. So, yeah, there's a really large focus on interaction in this ensemble during the improvised sections.
When you're performing and you're moving through these pieces, improvising, do you ever get worried that you don't know where you're going to end up?
Yeah, of course. But that's okay. I mean, you know, it's not going to be the best time every time, but it's going to be different and exciting. So that's why we're doing it.
I suppose that is the whole idea of that improvisation, isn't it? That it's what you feel at the time.
Yeah.
So my question now is, when you recorded DJ No Pies, how were you feeling?
I remember that because it was the very first thing we recorded, and the take that's on the album is the very first take we did. So I think sometimes the first one can be the best, and it just was that time, and it had a really good focus to it and a good energy to it. I think we were all feeling pretty good, pretty optimistic about hoping that the next 3 days of recording would go well, and we had good energy. So yeah, we were feeling good.
Well, I'm very happy then that we're going to have a listen too. DJ No Pies.
Thank you for listening to a Joycast from Joy 94.9. Find more Joycasts and show blogs, go to joy.org.au.
The jazz is your starting point, but you then spread out into other genres. Where do those other genres come from? Are these experiences that you have had, or are these genres other areas you've actually worked with, or are they areas you're just delving into now as part of the band's opportunities? That's a hard question.
Well, it's a bit of all of the above, I think. I mean, you know, whether it's something that we were interested in prior to finding jazz even, you know, Marcus and I have a shared love of 90s R&B, for example, or, you know, I guess...
That track didn't sound like...
You didn't hear the Beyonce in that?
Or it was, you know, I studied a little bit of 20th century music in my honours, or Marcos going over to India and studying music there for a period of time. It's things that we're interested in that we've researched and looked into both in a structured way and in a performance way.
Does the music you are now developing build upon experiences you've had when you were children? Was there music around your growing up?
Yeah, for sure. Yeah, I think that it's so common for musicians that the older you get, the further back you start looking, and you really do, are you drawn back to things that connected with you right at the beginning of when you were falling in love with music, and that stuff always stays with you. And yeah, and you go on, as you get as you grow up a bit, you start to go and explore, and then at some point you feel like coming back as well. I think there's some of that in this music.
Anything from your perspective, Marcos and Cheryl, from when you were young? Not that you're old now, but when you were children, I should say.
Yeah, I mean, I guess, like, there's... Not that I've really... I've never played in, like, a metal band, and I wouldn't say I've listened to, like, a whole heap of metal, but, like, there is... Like, for example, like, one band that I've, like, listening a lot to, which is Slipknot, and I kind of, even though I haven't really, like, transcribed or, like, sort of studied any of the, like, sort of work or anything, there is a part of me trying to channel, like with one composition that I've written, like, sort of channel some, like, I guess, feelings that I get from the music, kind of, I guess, and in my own kind of sort of abstract way or something. Yeah, I don't really know. But, yeah, so, like, that's a kind of another, yeah, like, so it's not necessarily stuff that I've, like, researched as well, but just kind of stuff that I've liked.
It's something
and
that you
feel like... Actually, yeah, and Steve as well. Like, there's this band that he really likes, The Bad Plus.
Mm.
Yeah, which I feel like he draws, a lot, like, in a similar way, potentially, from. But he does actually...
More of a recent thing, I feel, for me, yeah.
I think it's important, isn't it, that musicians, young, old, or in between, do draw on so many sources of inspiration to develop their own style. Otherwise, we'd be going around the one style of music all the time. And you're certainly heading in the right direction, I reckon, with what you're doing, including the cover art. It is just magnificent. It's a beautiful picture of a fish family, would we say?
Marcus, yeah, or just like
you
a
actually
fish,
did the artwork,
yeah,
didn't
like
you?
A fish society, but a like a little little scene in it, I guess. Yeah,
it's a beautiful little scene of this fish society. There's even fish playing. Actually, I've just noticed they're playing both a guitar and a bass at the same time.
Yeah.
Now that's an achievement, I reckon. And then on the inside cover, you can tell that this picture was obviously taken after your recording session, because you're all leaning there, very tired and worn out. And you did tell me before that there's a bit of a secret between the two of them, and I'll leave it for the listeners to find out when they obtain a copy themselves of this Koi Kingdom album called Menagerie. Thank you so much for coming in tonight. Now, you perform, I think, was it once a month?
Yeah, roughly once a month.
Where and when?
A good staple performance area is Bar 303. We find ourselves there quite often.
Yep.
Basically, it's, you know, whenever we get asked, which is really lovely.
Very lovely, really lovely indeed. And how do we get more details about Koi Kingdom?
So you can check us out on Facebook. We're Koi Kingdom Band.
That's K-O-I,
yes,
Kingdom.
Yes, Koi Kingdom. Or you can purchase the album on Bandcamp.
Excellent.
So I think that's...
Yeah, it's probably the best way. Yeah.
To get your hands on the...
Well, we've certainly got another piece. But before you go, Cheryl, you're actually performing at Wangaratta this year, I believe.
Yeah, I'm really excited to be, my first performance at the Wang Festival. It's a bit of a dream, yeah.
I'm sure it is.
Yes.
One of the many artists that are being presented this year, we've got Adam Simmons coming in shortly to have a chat to us about the very long list of artists this year. What are you performing this year in Wang?
I'm performing what was my debut album released last year, which is this long form piece with eight musicians. It's based on a story that I created, and so there is lots of imagery, and there is a story that goes along with it. Yeah, so it's really nice to be able to perform it because there are so many musicians. I don't get to play it very often.
Eight pieces is quite a large group.
Yes.
Well, we will look forward to seeing that up in Wang. But in the meantime, you're also touring with Koi Kingdom. You've got a tour, not in Melbourne though, because you're performing monthly in Melbourne, but you're off to New South Wales and Canberra.
Yeah, yep, excited.
So is this your first tour as a band?
Yeah.
Yes.
Yep. Excellent. So let's have a look at the program. You're going to the Hotel Blue in Katoomba the 28th of September, 1 month away. Halfback Books in DY in Sydney on the 29th. On the 2nd of October, Boho Grove Hibernian House, Surrey House, Sydney. That's a mouthful. And on the 3rd of October at Hippo & Co. in Canberra.
Yeah.
That'll be a marvellous little tour. For, 5 days?
Yeah. It'd
be fantastic. Well, thank you so much for coming in and letting us know a little bit about your music. We will be continuing to play some of the Koi Kingdom music over coming weeks and months as I put the program together. I sit there and grab CDs off the shelf, and this one is certainly going to grab my attention with that front cover artwork. Indeed, it's amazing to look at. There's some artists who put together albums that use such interesting cover artwork, and you are now one of them, by all means. Cheryl Durong-Pistacle, Stephen Hornby and Marcus Villalta.
Yep.
Villalta.
Yep.
I'll get that right eventually. Thank you so much for dropping in to see us tonight here on Bent Notes. Look forward to hearing more about Koi Kingdom as time progresses, and certainly keep us in mind for any upcoming gigs, and we'll have you back in and have a chat about anything that's happening along the way. We have a piece of music that we're going to have a listen to now from the album. It's called Head Back Smoking the Sun. It's quite an interesting name. Is there a story behind it?
Not really a story. But I think it's more just the laid back, chilled vibe to it kind of made me think of the name, but didn't, I don't know. And I just kind of like the idea of like the sun being smoked.
Well, we're certainly looking forward to the sun at the moment. We haven't seen quite enough on it. Thank you again for popping in. Koi Kingdom here on Joy 94.9. Let's have a listen to the Koi Kingdom with Head Back Smoking the Sun.
Joy 94.9 is a GLBTIQ community radio station in Melbourne, Australia. Support Joy 94.9 by becoming a member at joy.org.au.
Thanks for listening to another Joy podcast brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Help keep Joy on air. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.